Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya.
Reading from the 11th canto, 11th chapter. Chapter is entitled The Symptoms of Living Entities. Today we're covering text 21. Evam jignashaya poya.
Evam jignashaya poya.
Nanatva brahman atmani.
Nanatva brahman atmani.
Uparamita virajam.
Uparamita virajam.
Mano mayat. Ya sargage. Evam jignashaya poya.
Evam jignashaya poya.
Nanatva brahman atmani.
Nanatva brahman atmani.
Aparamita virajam.
Aparamita virajam.
Mano mayarpya sargage.
Mano mayarpya sargage.
Please chant. Concluded. Jignashaya, by analytical study.
By analytic study.
Aboya, apoya,
giving up.
Nanatva,
of material variety.
Brahman, the mistake of rotating. Atmani. In the self. Uparamita. One should cease from material life. Virajam.
Pure.
Mana. The mind. Mayi. In me. Arpya. Fixing. Sarvage. Purim, all pervading. Translation and purport by the sincere followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Coming to the conclusion of all knowledge, one should give up the false conception of material variety that one imposes upon the soul and thus cease one's material existence. The mind should be fixed on me, since I am all pervading. Please repeat. Coming to this conclusion of all knowledge, one should give up the false conception of material variety. That one imposes upon the soul. And thus cease one's material existence. The mind should be fixed on me. Since I am all pervading. Report. Although in previous verses, Lord Krishna has described the lifestyle and approach of the impersonal philosophers who meditate on the distinction between matter and spirit, the Lord here rejects the path of jnana or speculation and comes to the final conclusion, bhakti yoga. The path of jnana is interesting only to one who does not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Bahunam jamanam ante gyanavam mam prapajate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudolabha. The words vasudeva sarvamiti, or vasudeva is everything, are similar to the words sarvage found in this verse. One should know why the personality of Godhead is all pervading. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam states, Janmadyashayata. The Supreme Lord is the source of everything, and as stated in the previous verse of this chapter, He creates, maintains, and annihilates everything. Thus the Lord is not all-pervading in the manner of air or sunlight. Rather, the Lord is all-pervading as the absolute controller who holds in His hands the destiny of every living entity. Everything is ultimately an expansion of Krishna, and therefore there is really no other object of meditation besides Krishna. Meditation upon any other object is also meditation on Krishna, but is imperfectly performed, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the word Avidipurvakam. The Lord also states in the Bhagavad Gita that all living entities are on the path back home, back to Godhead. Because of ignorance, however, some of them go backward or stop along the way, foolishly thinking that their journey is finished, when in fact they are suspended in one of the minor potencies of the Supreme Lord. If one wants to intimately understand the nature of the absolute truth, one must take to the path of love of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. The words Manatva Brahmam in this verse indicates false identification with the gross and subtle material bodies. The word Brahmam indicates a mistake. It can also mean wandering or rotating. The conditioned living entity, because of this mistake of falling into illusion, is wandering through a succession of material bodies, sometimes appearing as a demigod and sometimes as a worm in stool. The word aparamita means that one should stop such fruitless wandering and fix one's mind on the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord, who is the true object of everyone's love. Such a conclusion is not sentimental, but is the result of keen analytic intelligence, jignashaya. Thus, after elaborately explaining to Uddhava many aspects of analytic knowledge, the Lord now comes to the ultimate conclusion Krishna consciousness, pure love of Godhead. Without such love, there's no question of eternally fixing one's mind on the Lord. Quoting from the Veka, Sri Madhvacharya states that Nanatvara Brahma indicates the following illusions. Considering the living entity to be the supreme, considering all living entities to be ultimately one entity without separate individuality, considering that there are many gods, thinking that Krishna is not God, and considering that the material universe is the ultimate reality. All of these illusions are called Brahma, or mistakes. But such ignorance can be eliminated at once by chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. Coming to this conclusion of all knowledge, one should give up the false conception of material variety that one imposes upon the soul and thus cease one's material existence. The mind should be fixed on me, since I am all pervading. Om Aganatamananda Shaganandjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umnitam Gena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Some of you are probably wondering why I'm sitting up here again today. You had to tolerate me yesterday. Krishna just making this powerful arrangement for my purification. So I don't, it's inconceivable. I'm probably unfortunate for the rest of you, but it's good for me. So this is where Krishna is going through a transition, helping Uddhava understand that jnana mishra bhakti, jnana without bhakti, doesn't really do much good for the jiva. He can't stick with it. He can't maintain. What is it in the 10th canto prayers of the demigods? Yeni ravandaksha vimukhimini nas tvayashtad bhavarava shuddha buddhaya ariyaka chena parampadam tata padantido nadita yashmad angriya. So one may think himself liberated, and this is really what the jnana does. He's thinking. It's all like an intellectual prowess. But actually, you know, it's an artificial platform. And because he doesn't have attachment for the lotus feet of the Lord, in other words, he's not engaged in devotional service, he falls down from this position of imagined superiority. He bloops into the material energy. So that's one point that's there. And also, do you remember this saintly person that was wandering here and there, and he acted like a retarded person? Remember that? That was in a previous verse. Actually, that word was used, retarded. Anybody remember? Huh? No. It was in this chapter. That was also, we don't see devotees acting like retarded persons. So he just kind of like, it's this artificial renunciation that, comes with the jnana process. Prapanchakataya buddhya harisambandhi vashtina mumukshade parityagyo vairagyam phalgu kachate. So this is the description of one who rejects everything without knowledge of its relationship with Krishna. So the more intelligent person, who's engaged in bhakti, he sees everything as connected with Krishna. And this is brought out since I'm all pervading. Okay, so then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada's disciples quote the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Janmadgashai, just to quote, they quote that Krishna, I meditate upon this supreme absolute truth, who's the cause of creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. So he's the cause of it, but he's actually, it's all expanding from him. So this floor actually is Krishna's energy. We don't worship the floor, although Madama Han, he keeps joking with me when I go down to offer obeisance, says, what are you doing? What are you praying to the floor for, Jam Master? That's Madan for you. But if we use everything in Krishna's service, anashaktasya vishayan yartaham upayunjata nibandha krishna sambandha yuktam vairagya uchate. This is proper renunciation. This is the highest platform of renunciation, just to use everything in Krishna's service, to see it as connected with him. Now, okay, so this is one point that's made in this section. And this is what the Jnani Yogis, they weren't doing. They were just walking away from it. Okay, I'm spirit, this is matter, to hell with it. I don't need it. This is a retarded position to take. It's a less intelligent position. So, devotees, they understand that they got a whole different scenario. This is actually Krishna. He's all pervasive. Interesting point here that's made at the end of the first paragraph is the Lord is not all pervading in the matter of air or sunlight. Rather, the Lord is all pervading as the absolute controller who holds in his hands the destiny of every living entity. Think about that one. That's intense. And it's really the case. I had no idea that I was going to get back with them this morning until I got this SMS from Keshav at 3:30 in the morning to turn my life upside down, at least for the morning. And I thought I was given Bhagavatam class tomorrow, so I couldn't really figure out what was going on. I was thinking maybe that Krishna had canceled the schedule for the month and I was given it every day or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I need that kind of purification. I'm joking, of course. But, so that, when we start to think about what's happened in our life thus far, then we can see that I have very, very little control over what takes place. I can make practical decisions, but even those can be overturned very, very easily by the material energy who's working under the direction of Krishna. So, if there's another way that we can experience the all-pervasiveness of the Lord, it's something that we don't often think about, but it's a fact. You know, there's very, very little control that we exercise from one day to the next, from one hour to the next. So Krishna's doing it, but why is he doing it? What's he got up his sleeve? What's he got in his heart? What he's got in his heart is a tremendous amount of love for his separated parts and parcels. We separated, we made some or other, we opted out. Ichadresha Samutvena Dvandva Mohina Bharata Sarva Sarva Bhutani Samhoham Sagayanti Parantapa. So out of this envy or desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, we got in a big mess. We're play acting as the supreme controller. We're not. We're play acting like that. We're play acting as the supreme enjoyer. And then we start getting some wake up calls. You know, the enjoyment isn't what I was thinking it might be. And I certainly can't control everything that's taking place. And then, by the Krishna's merciful arrangement, we come in contact with the devotees and start understanding a whole different paradigm. So this different paradigm, because actually the Jnani is in a controlling mentality. He's not surrendering to Krishna. He's surrendering to his intelligence and trying to figure everything out. Of course he gets help from the Upanishads and some of the other Vedic literatures that are not imbued with bhakti. But that's what he's doing. It's like by his brute strength, he's overpowering, trying to overpower the material energy and renounce it. Renounce the enjoying spirit, but it's still there. It's in the heart. It's an imagined position of liberation, but then it falls down from that imagined position. So, this is the paradigm that Krishna is asking Uddhava to understand so that he can convey that to the sages in Vajragashram. He finishes the Uddhava Gita, and we're getting it. But this is also a review. Like I made the point yesterday, Nanda has made the point that actually the 11th canto is recapping what we've already covered in the first 9 cantos of Bhagavatam and also the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavatam kind of expands on the principles of Bhagavad Gita. So, it's a pretty important point because the process of bhakti is one of not being the controller, but of submissive surrender, loving surrender to the Supreme Lord, giving one's heart to Krishna. And then, very, very powerful liberation takes place. But one actually becomes, because the jnani doesn't become freed of material desire. It doesn't, kechit kevaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agandun ganti karchneya niharami vabhaskara. But when we take a bhakti, it works on all levels. It removes the ignorance. This is the progression of how we experience distress in the material world that's presented by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It starts with ignorance. I think on my body. Okay, this is, what is that? Here in today's verse, it's Nanatva Brahma. Brahma is a mistake. It's one of the 4 defects of the jiva. So, Prabhupada elaborates that on the beginning of Ishopanishad. And so in the purport, we understand it's actually just identifying oneself as the body. Okay, so on the basis of this misidentification, do we ever get ourselves in a jam? So that ignorance, okay, that creates, that lays the foundation for the material desires. Because we're identifying with a body, we think we're the mind, the gross and subtle bodies we identify, so what's the next step? Want to enjoy. Want to enjoy the material energy. Rather than using it in Krishna service, let's enjoy it. Icha dvesha. Play acting as the supreme controller and enjoyer, center of the universe. Alright, so then, from the material desire comes pop. That's the sin. Okay, we just, anytime we're acting outside of trying to please Krishna, I mean, isn't it, technically speaking, sinful? I mean, we do that as devotees, but we get some dispensation because of our lack of spiritual advancement. But it's really what it's all about, when we're acting outside of Krishna consciousness, it's sinful life. And so then what comes with that? There comes reaction. Those reactions usually are in the form of distresses. And that's why it's, Prabhupada refers to the material world as a prison house, a reformatory situation. We commit a sinful activity, and the reaction that we get is like a slap on the hand for doing that. It's specifically designed to curb that tendency in the future. I had a friend in high school whose father had a nicotine addiction. And he was smoking nonstop all the time. And he got his reaction for that. He developed cancer of the larynx. So he had, when he went surgery, he had his larynx removed. And the way they do that, they cut a hole right there larynx that contains the vocal cords. And so he didn't have any vocal cords anyway, so how's he supposed to communicate? Well, the way he would communicate, he would swallow air and he would belch, but form words with the belch. I mean, it wasn't exactly an attractive sound vibration, to say the least. But, you know, he was so driven by first the ignorance and then the desire to enjoy the material energy. He didn't really care so much that he had to suffer so much. It just didn't dawn on him. He didn't see the connection. He continued smoking, and sometimes he would just to kind of thumb his nose at the material energy. He'd put the cigarette in a hole in his neck and inhale and exhale. Of course, eventually he died on the way to the hospital. You know, the cancer ate through the aorta. Is that right? Does the aorta go through the neck? Some big, like the jugular vein, you know. So he got his reward for trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. So, at any rate, this recognition of the all-pervasiveness of the Lord as the controller, and then just submitting to him. This is really the process of bhakti. Submitting with love and devotion, offering everything to him, trying to stay on the platform continuously. Anukul Yena Krishna Nu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. You know, we're trying to please Krishna, but we're trying to do it as he wants us to please him. That's clear from the directions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Not that we can crack. And then it's continuous. It's a continuous flow of this favorable execution of service. Shilana means a continuous. And it also is in line. Shilana also means in line with the previous acharyas. So that's our humble approach. It's part of bhakti. And it's not in this controlling or self-aggrandizing mood. It's this submission. It's just, okay, I recognize what I need to do. This is the divyagyan. I recognize what I need to do, and then with my intelligence fortified by this divyagyan, I go ahead with my life, offering everything to the Lord. And it's not like we have to, like with demigod worship, and this is something that's brought up as well, this Vidhi Purvakam. So this is used in conjunction with demigod worship primarily. This is coming from the 23rd text of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. AP Yana Devata Bhakta Vijanti Shraddha Yam Vita Tepi Man Iva Kuntaya Vijanti Vidhi Purvakam. Those who are devotees of other gods and worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in a wrong way. Now that's real intriguing when you think about it. Now, Vidhi Purvakam means they do it properly. Okay, so what would the proper way of worshiping the demigods be? To see them, I mean, generally speaking, we don't go there, but, you know, if you go to Manasi Ganga, Govardhan, there's a Chakreshwar, Shiva Lingam, that this was Sanatana Goswami's bhajan kutir. So you approach Shiva to just let me go to Krishna. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. You know, recognizing that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. And so you just, you know, you do it in that mood. Not, okay, Shiva, give me, Lord Shiva, please give me material opulence. This is the way most Shaivites deal in their relationship. So this would be a vidhi purvakam. Improper worship. So the proper, but generally speaking, you know, devotees in our tradition, we don't go there so much. We're primarily just focusing on our loving relationship with Krishna. Oops, sorry. Fell asleep at the switch. In case you woke me up, I'm going to speak into the mic. Did everybody get what I just was speaking about? Do I need to repeat anything? It was okay? I got a big enough mouse that probably got out there anyway. Okay, so the simple process, what follows this verse 9:23 is, 9:24, I'm the only enjoyer and master of all sanctifies. This is Krishna speaking to Arjuna. Therefore, those who do not recognize my transcendental nature fall down. That's kind of what we've been talking about, right? I'm the only enjoyer. Even the Jnani, he's got a whole enjoying mood. I want to be the most liberated person as fast as possible. They have a pridefulness. I don't know, in India, I come across impersonalists quite often, and they don't have the humility of a Vaishnava. It was very conspicuous by its absence. Oftentimes, that's the case. Even though they do all these austerities, but they're proud of their austerities. Look at what I've done. Now I've become liberated, but it's an imagined position of superiority. And then the famous verse, Yanti Deva Vata Devan Kitin Yanti Patri Vata Bhutani Yanti Puteja Yanti Nadya Jino Pima. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors will be ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. So this Yukta Vairagya is really how we handle it. We don't go, and it doesn't require a lot of money. Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. Taraham Bhakti Parita Mashnami Prayatat Manaha. So just offer a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, but do it with love and devotion. I'll accept it. It's very much simpler. Doesn't require nearly the level of endeavor because it's not in that modality of the doer. It's the modality of the surrendered servant. That's the consciousness. That's the attitude of the practitioner of bhakti. Okay, so I covered most of the bases, and maybe we could stop here. Maybe there's some points that devotees would like to, some reflections, or some questions, or some chastisements, or comments, and Tirukram Prabhu is ready to go.
Maybe before I ask my question or make my point, I just want to make one point. I was scheduled for today, but then somebody else was to visit. Somebody was visiting and it seems like they didn't appear. But no one told me about it or what was going on, and this you were put in the place. That's all right.
Okay, so who's the supreme controller? It's not your master. That's a blind sir. Okay. And it's not your current
Who is the supreme administrator? Concerning the point where Lord Krishna says
the answer to that question is Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. Concerning the point where Lord Krishna says that the demigod, one who worships the demigod worships me and directly, but does not really know about it. There is what we call Pravriti Marga. Pravriti Marga allows the demigods, Krishna allows the demigods to receive worship because they are the administrators in the material world. The demigods are the administrators in the material world. And so to take away the headache from Krishna, they are allowed to do that. See, so what happened is that people would offer sacrifice to the demigods, but first they would offer the sacrifice to Vishnu. See, offer sacrifice first to Vishnu and then to the demigods. You see? So, but then with time, people lose that sight and they just worship the demigods directly. You see, so concerning the point where Lord Krishna is saying that one who worships the demigod worships me indirectly. See? So that's my take on that.
Okay, well, one thing is to say, we just, like yesterday, we were covering how Krishna was putting down any literature, including the Vedic literatures, is not really as helpful for the jiva. Putting it down, not nearly as helpful as the Bhakti Shastras that encourage loving relationship with the Lord and focus on the glories and pastimes and activities of the Lord. So, certainly on the yoga ladder, the Pravati Marg is acceptable. But now there's a big shift that's taking place in this storyline and the philosophy line where Krishna's asking, demanding that bhakti be observed and forget the lower, and we covered how Narada Muni chastised Srila Vyasadeva for wasting his time. And this would be before Vedas, even the Mahabharata, we better get you directly describe the glories and activities of the Lord and induce bhakti. So this is what's going on. It's not that it's not useful. Also the acharyas make the point that when demigod worship is going on, the demigod worshiper comes in contact with the priestly caste. And some of those may have awakened to bhakti. And so they get in, they get their, objected.
And that's where Nivritti Marg comes in, where you worship exclusively to Krishna.
Yeah. So anyway, this is the transition we're undergoing. Any other points? Yes, Dorkadesh Prabhu.
In the purport that was up there for quite a while about Krishna being in control of our destinies, of all living entities, it seemed to be a little, well, I'm just hoping you can expand on that, because there's a verse in the Bhagavatam, God can be understood as Brahman Paramatma and Bhagavan. And Prabhupada uses examples often about the sunlight. As being an example of Brahman, analogy of Brahman. This seems to take it a little step further that Krishna's personally, present. He's omnipresent personally for all the living entities. Maybe you can expand on that.
Well, he does delegate responsibilities, as Chaitanya Prabhu makes a point to the demigods. And the super souls there, it's an expansion of Krishna. But what the focus is in this discussion as it unfolds is to directly give your love to Krishna. Akilatma Rasa Mitas Muti. Krishna is a reservoir of all rasas. So for a devotee, once he starts the practice of bhakti, he's no longer under the laws of karma. Krishna directly intervenes, and he, even though he's scheduled to give class, he's not allowed to give class, and some other rascal is pulling the seat instead of him. This is Krishna, it's not my karma, Krishna was feeling really sorry for me because I don't get to give classes very much. I don't know what's going on, but it was nice. Put me in the crunch a little bit. Get it together. So for the non-devotee, he doesn't see that Krishna's behind this, that he's the controller, and therefore Krishna's a little bit in the mood of, the guy learned his lesson indirectly through the agency of my material energy, which is under the control of my directors and superintendents, the demigods. But this is a much higher reality that's being presented here by Krishna to Uddhava. But ultimately Krishna is, you know, he's the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmajyashaya Tum Vyadi Tratashtatesha Vigyasara Tini Brahmanidaya Adikavaya Muyanti Yat Suryaha. What's the next line? Okay, I can't hear you, but anyway. The point is that everything's coming from Krishna. And he does, you know, he's directing everything in a specific way. He may delegate to his agents, his devotees, to do like Prabhupada was delegated the responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Lord Chaitanya could have done that. I mean, he is the Supreme Lord, but he saved it for Prabhupada. So that controlling modality becomes increasingly obvious as one makes advancement in the process of bhakti yoga. And it's not so obvious early on. So the presentations that in Shastra are designed to be accessible on different levels of spiritual advancement. And it may be, I remember when I joined the movement, I thought I was a really smart guy. So I was reading Prabhupada's books. This was in the first 2 or 3 months I was in the movement. And sometimes I would see things that appeared to be contradictions. So I started taking notes. I said, it says it here, and it says this there. And then I write it down. And I kept doing that. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't all of a sudden, but gradually, I started feeling really depressed and down. So then I took this to a senior devotee. It was actually, his name is Sanjaya Ragatmaka, remembers, and he was a book distributor. He was the one that gave me the book in Port Authority Bus Terminal and sent me down to the temple, and that was the end of my material life. But he said to me, don't overthink this. You know, just, it will all be revealed in due course. Don't do this. It's not good for your spiritual life. So I stopped it. And he was right. You know, I've been hearing sometimes that recently that even fairly senior devotees, they start questioning, well, this is what so-and-so previous acharya says, and here's what Prabhupada says, and it just becomes a source of bewilderment. So I'm not saying that your points aren't valid, but this is the topmost platform that Krishna's instructing Uddhava in. And when we, for instance, yat karoshi yat ashnasi yaj jahosi dasi yat tapashashi kunte yat karoshi mayapanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, do it as an offering to me. This is actually, Pramanishra Bhakti, and Prabhupada, you know, I've got a quote in here where he indicates that's the case. It's Nishkam Karma Yoga, where someone, I come to Krishna consciousness, I'm living outside, so I'm working, and then I give some of my income to put it in the hundi. And then I keep doing the same kind of work that I was doing outside because that's what I'm good at. And that's actually, because Krishna hasn't, you know, the guru, maybe the guru is representative of the temple president, wants you to do something else. And then, no. This is what I want to do. So Nishkam Karma Yoga means that you're doing what you want to do and you're offering the result to Krishna. So that's a level of Srinu, but here we've got what's being introduced is Anyabhilashita Sunam, Gyanakarma Manavitam, Anakul Yena Krishna Sharanam Bhakti Uttam. When first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desire and has obtained a monastic philosophy and fruit of action. it's actually there's sometimes when, you know, there's a kind of, I'm doing it because I really love to do it. Okay, it's your right. But what about doing it because Krishna really wants you to do it? That's a higher platform. That's, and so, Anakulyana Krishna and Shiranam Bhakti Uttama. So, we do what Krishna wants us to do. We do it to please Him. And part of that Anakulyana is that's what Krishna wants out of us. So, you know, we're doing this, but it's something that we're kind of coming from our karmic trajectory. Does that make sense? Okay, so what I'm saying is that there's different levels of revelation that comes from Shastra. That's my take on the whole thing. I'm engaging in philosophical speculation, but to try to gain a deeper understanding, so that's permissible, right, Prabhupada? That mental speculation differentiates a little better. What do you think? Give me a mic. Let it out. Samantha?
What I got out of, sorry to simplify it all, was that if you have the eyes to see Krishna, He is present personally guiding your life, and otherwise it is a sort of impersonal presence. He is controlling you whether you, you know, accept it or see it or not. And like the government or something like that. But if you have the eyes to see it, that you can see that He is personally behind, you know, that He sanctions every blade of grass, you know, so it's just a matter of your own consciousness.
Well, it's also, there's a way that Krishna also deals differently with the words. You look at the purport to 10.14.8, that's the Mahavakya and processing distress. Titanya Kampam Shukshamana Bhindana Ratmakatanga Prakram Redvad Lakabari Vrida Namaste Chivaita Yoga Mukti Padesa Dayabak. You know, all these tyrants, adverse conditions, understand the karma body is a result of one's misdeeds, one's past misdeeds, and goes on rendering service with body, mind, and words, offering to the Lord. And then, what's the name of that translation? Pure devotional service becomes his rightful claim. Okay, so in the purport, this is the first chapter after Prabhupada started translating, stopped translating. The devotees said it's not technically karma when we get a reaction. This is Krishna's personal intervention. That's why, you know, I mean, Trivikram, you know, he was all geared up to give class and he was bumped off to us. But that's okay, you know, Krishna had a plan, you know what I mean, is sweat it out. So, you know, that's what happens with the devotees. He's personally involved. Whereas before Bhakti awakens, you know, he delegates the responsibility to his agents, but yet he's still behind it. You know, he's all cognizant personality, not a blade of grass moon, so he actually is controlling for them. But, you know, here it's more of a devotional, you know, two-way street. I'm giving my heart to you, Krishna, and he gives his heart to me. And of course, this is on the platform. You know, Krishna comes under the control of his devotee because there's so much love. Anything else? Is that reasonably satisfactory response? Clarified it? Any other points? Okay, probably next month when I'm scheduled to get class, I'll get canceled and you'll be in there to the point. Every day. I'll go to Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.